It's time for Radio Cals, a weekly program from the Central Arkansas Library System. Every Wednesday from 6 to 6:30 p.m. here on KABF 88.3 FM, we'll share with you conversations with interesting Arkansans on primary sources, Chewing the Fat with Rex and Paul, interviews with some of your favorite musical artists on Arkansas Sound, content from the Butler Center's collections, information about what's happening in the library system, and much, much more. We invite you to let us know what else you want to hear by contacting us at radiocals@cals.org. This program is presented by the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies and the Cals Communications and Public Relations Department. For more information about Radio Cals, including links to resources mentioned in our segments, please visit the Butler Center's blog at butlercenter.org.
It's time for Chewing the Fat with Rex and Paul, a regular feature on Radio Cals. That's Rex Nelson, who is senior editor and columnist for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette and who writes the food blog Southern Fried, and Paul Austin, who is the executive director of the Arkansas Humanities Council, talking about Arkansas food, festivals, and folks.
As the cat's panting to the box fan, it won't be long now. Two legends here on the track, y'all. These guys should be in the Teller Racing Hall of Fame. These are two of your early pioneers in Teller Racing. That's what a 53-year-old man does right there, y'all. Lane one or lane one. 7.89 seconds.
Well, we're chewing the fat. I'm Rex.
I'm Paul. Ready to chew some fat, Rex?
Well, for a second consecutive year, we make it down to the Emerson Purple Hall Pea Festival and World Championship Motorized Tiller Races. And last year it was about 104 when we were there. This year it was about 84.
Very pleasant.
And that made a difference because the crowd was much bigger this year, I thought.
Much better. There, no collapsing, no sweating. We didn't have to go into the headquarters, which was not exactly what one would think as a plush, to say the least. We didn't need the air conditioning.
Didn't need the RV this year.
Didn't need the RV.
It was humid.
It was humid.
It was okay. Not hot. And we had my 20-year-old son, Evan, along this year. So I guess we better walk for the day because, of course, we had to introduce him to classic Arkansas eating places along the way.
Well, exactly right. Yeah, started with Keeney's.
I was going to say a year ago we went into a very in-depth discussion of Keeney's. This is a grocery store that is operated at the same location in a residential area of Malvern on Mill Street for 61 years. Yeah. Has had the same owner, Mr. and Miss Keeney. They got married when they were 20 and 17, respectively. Moved into the house next door, and they've been married, I guess, 61 years and have operated the store 61 years. Amazing story.
Yeah. He's 81.
Yeah, and a spry 81.
Spry 81, still cooking. And we got there almost 9,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, we went later this year, about 9 o'clock.
And they were just jammed. I know the waitress.
Breakfast weekend, and the waitress was a little stressed, wasn't she?
Yeah, you said, how you doing? She said, don't ask.
Don't ask.
Well, clearly, we'd sat there for a little bit. There were two tables.
Yeah.
And some folks next to us, and she kind of walked in and said, oh, my. And I could see her getting on to Mr. Keeney. Why didn't you tell me
these people
were?
Yeah, the room was full, and she didn't know all these new people had come in.
But, boy, yeah. Keeney's.
Because it's part grocery store still.
Right, yeah.
And then there are tables in the back. Right. So it's restaurant / grocery store. You can still buy all your groceries also.
Oh, yeah, produce.
And, yeah, as you check out front. It is a true Arkansas classic. Now, they were so busy that we did not have the time to talk to Mr. Keeney last year with your father having run the meat, I was going to say department, but that's a little too fancy for the size store he was in. Being the butcher.
The meat counter.
The meat counter at a store. And you describing, or Mr. Keeney describing how he made his sausage last year, you actually came to tears. Now, this year we didn't have time to visit with Mr. Keeney, but I thought I saw a tear or two as you ate the sausage this year.
The sausage is just fantastic. I mean, it is, you know, he told us last year it's really an art to make sausage, and he's right about that, and most people can't.
Yeah.
And I've eaten a lot of sausage since my father passed away, which has been a long time, in the 90s. And nothing comes close. It's fine, but it's usually bland and not very good. But Mr. Keeney nails it.
Yeah.
Plenty of fat, just the right amount of pepper, nice good hunk. But, Rex, the biscuits are just
the homemade biscuits.
Unbelievable.
We were good, and we only ate one. We didn't ask for a second.
I was very pleased.
But we were tempted because they do them in a big cast iron skillet.
Yeah. The lady, one of the cooks, walked outside and came back in with a giant, at least 12-inch cast iron skillet full of these biscuits that had just risen almost out of the skillet, and you just wanted to eat more biscuits. Oh, my goodness.
Homemade biscuits.
But I would say for the entire day, Rex, we were very good. I was very pleased with our efforts.
Well, I think my fried eggs also were cooked in the sausage grease, because as I commented to you at the time, they were not pretty eggs. They were good eggs. Not like a restaurant that tried to make them look pretty, like a magazine photo with the yolk standing up just so.
Over easy and just yolk everywhere and biscuit. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, what a breakfast. And I think Evan liked it, too.
He did, yeah. Now, I think one of the things that happened, really, that I thought set the day off. You know, Rex, this show, this podcast is so popular that people are really paying attention.
It's just exploding,
isn't it? It's just exploding. People see us out on our adventures. And I'd been getting some comments about your hat. And it had kind of got a little embarrassing, and I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to hurt your feelings.
I love my hat.
Sensitive about that. So someone said, Paul, that's just pathetic looking. So we started off the day, I got you a hat.
Yeah, do that.
It's much better. I'm not embarrassed anymore. I'll go with you anywhere. Well, not anywhere, but
good.
You know, close enough. And most importantly, Evan was not embarrassed.
Yeah, there we go.
At 20 years old, that could be a problem.
It's easy to embarrass your son.
Easy,
when that
very age. Easy, yeah.
But he was a good camper. I mean, we took our old route down old Highway 67 instead of getting on Interstate 30 and went through the metropolises of Donelson and Friendship and past Washita High.
Went by the Nervous Hospital.
Yes, exactly. Walked DeSoto Bluff for a second straight year
in
Arkadelphia.
Well-documented DeSoto stop there.
Where he overlooked the Washita River, according to our state archaeologist Ann Early, right?
Exactly right. And,
and then the added attraction this year that we didn't do last year, because it's one of my favorite times of year in Arkansas. The peaches are ripe.
Oh,
the
yeah.
tomatoes
yeah.
are ripe. And we went to the Clark County Farmer's Market.
Farmer's Market.
And loaded up.
Great peaches and great tomatoes, which were wonderful the next
peaches
day.
Peaches were out of the Nashville area, which is
Famous
been a peach capital for many years.
Yeah. These were good,
for that
too.
Area.
Mine are gone, and the tomatoes were great Sunday for BLTs.
Yeah, the peaches were from the Jameson Orchard. I think our tomatoes are gone. I may have some peaches left that I sliced up in the refrigerator yet.
Oh,
or I may not. My kids may have eaten them.
They were fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was glad we went. Because I'd run out of tomatoes we got at Pine Bluff on our another Delta adventure a week before that, I think.
Yeah.
So I needed tomatoes, and those were perfect.
Yeah, and now I'm going to have to find tomatoes tomorrow. It's going to be time again to find tomatoes.
Well, I talked to Jan about going to, because I not only want tomatoes, I want some Esau's corn.
Yeah.
And we may just go tomorrow
go to
Pine Bluff.
Yeah, make the run to the produce
and
shop.
Get some, yeah.
Yeah, there are two good produce places within less than a mile of each other.
Yeah.
Right along there, and you can
not
you can
far
really,
out of Pine Bluff.
No,
at all,
just as you still in town, actually, as you go down Highway 67 south, like you're going toward Dumas. We'll talk about that trip a little later. But back to our Purple Hole pea trip. So we've eaten at Keeney's, we've bought tomatoes, we've bought peaches, and then we get to Emerson, and we left an hour later this year,
right.
So we were on the end of the
a little
pea luncheon. I think we got more being at the end of the line.
Well, it was crowded, and we didn't have the.
And I don't remember the homemade peach cobbler last year. Was that added? I don't remember having.
Well, this
that
was
last
good.
Year. It was good.
And you know the key
and the lady
to a
who
cobbler
made
is
it
the
was,
crust.
The lady who made it was one of the servers.
Yeah,
there.
It was fantastic.
It was homemade. So we got purple all peas. You had some sliced onions and sliced tomatoes.
Sliced tomatoes.
My wife's not there, so I can eat onions. She won't let me eat onions. Well, she can't stand onions.
It was
onions.
Hard not to have an onion. Now,
And cornbread.
I didn't eat all my peas.
No, you were good this year.
No emergency stops afterwards. But it was hard because they didn't just throw some peas in some water and boil them.
No.
These things had to have bacon hunks and grease and I don't know what.
I was going to say,
fantastic.
You looked at your plate and you initially think a no-meat luncheon, but I guarantee you there's plenty of fat back in those
plenty
peas.
Plenty of fat back.
Because they had a good taste to them.
Good taste.
So and we ate that, and then, you know, you wait around for the races to start at 2:30. I have to express a little bit of disappointment, Paul. I thought, as famous as the show is becoming, knowing that we were there last year, that we would be the grand marshals of the Million Teller Parade this year, as they call it. But we weren't. I think they had a TV person out of Shreveport or something, right?
TV person, yeah.
These dang TV personalities, yeah. Well, Steve Sullivan from KTV in Little Rock this year, and they also get the Shreveport market down there, so they had to have some weather girl or something.
There's always next year.
Yeah. They needed a couple of true Arkansas food experts
right.
next year
well,
to be grand marshals in that Million Teller Parade.
Or maybe we could be elected the pea goddess. They had a pea goddess.
They had the pea goddess contest, and actually it's based on who raises the most money.
Right.
And we gave our money to the eventual winner, as it turned out.
Yeah.
So we had picked the pea goddess.
Yeah.
And last year, because I missed him last year, you actually got to meet the PR man for the festival this year.
Yes, we did. We sure did. He was, and he, being a savvy PR man, knew about
PR,
you in the
fat. Yeah, PEA.
He knew about you in the fat.
Oh, absolutely.
Appreciated the little shout-outs we've been given on our Facebook opportunities.
So you got to meet the PR man. This year, though, unlike last year where they were from this region of the country, we had some ringers in from Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Saw it on YouTube. Evidently, it went viral last year, the YouTube video of this thing, because, you know, I think there was some controversy. And so these boys came down, and evidently they sell tillers in Wisconsin or something, earthquake tillers. And so I think that's what brought the world champion, who had been retired for several years, I think that's what brought him back. He wasn't having these foreigners coming in.
Yes.
Taking their championship.
We didn't get to see the three-time world champion perform last year. But, yes, he did come out of retirement this year, and we thought we were going to get to see him in several heats. Unfortunately, he pulled a muscle, so we only got to see him once at age 53, going a little fast down that 200-foot course.
Well, I was listening to him being interviewed by one of the TV stations, and it sounded like NASCAR. He said, yeah, we got to get some more horsepower on them things. We're going to drill out that casing back there about 7 micro inches, I think.
He's a team owner, isn't he? He's like the Roger Penske tiller racing.
And he said, we got to get a clutch, got to get more power on the clutch. So I think we probably get about 28 horsepower. I thought, my goodness.
Yeah.
And I guess it, because I think they won.
Oh, yeah.
I think that tiller won. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, it was fun, as always.
And now,
one is hot. Another thing that we didn't do last year is that this year we went over and looked at the antique tractors.
Antique tractors, which was
fascinating. And our old friend, State Senator Bruce Malik,
right,
from who lives in that area, works at Farmers Bank in Magnolia, great guy, has a farm down in the Emerson area. And his son has done a remarkable job on
restored the John Deere that they had, and an old Willys Jeep.
And a vehicle,
And we missed the slowest tractor race.
That's in the morning, apparently.
In the morning,
Who put can them go in the slowest,
See who goes the slowest.
Without the engine dying.
But these tractors were immaculately restored.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that was really interesting. And I guess they had it last year, but I didn't notice it was too hot.
Well, you can't do everything in one trip. It's just too much to do at Emerson.
It's a fun field.
It's a big place.
That's right. That's exactly right. And we managed to drag Evan away. I think he was having so much fun.
Well, we drug him away with the promise we would go the arduous 9 miles and cross the Louisiana state line. We told him we would have him in three states on that one day,
and
we
did. We like to go intercontinental.
Yes, we really do. Now, again, wanting to introduce my son to the finer things in life, he got breakfast at Keeney's, But he had to see, he loves Burgess in the Heights in Little Rock, but he had to see the original Burgess, which has been around since, I think, 62.
I think that's right.
In Louisville. He had to see the original Burgess there. And then we wanted to introduce him. The young man is 20 years old and has never had turkey fries, which we have talked about often on this show,
and probably too often
for the comfort of our sponsors here. But
he wanted to
experience that. So we went 82 west toward Texarkana, and our official Chewing the Fat driver was so excited about getting to Louisville and Burgess that he went a little too fast through the city of Strong.
It turns out, no, Stamps.
I mean, not Strong, Stamps. That's
it turns
I mean.
Out that 54 and a 35 is, in fact, speeding. Now, I'm trying to
It's actually 55, but the guy gave you a break.
I don't want to say that. Thank God no one listens to this, Stamps. But I'm thinking about trying to get it reimbursed from the Humanities Council.
It was a research trip.
Well, we
went to DeSoto Bluff. Exactly. Humanities Council had money into that. Site visit.
You'd warn me, said Paul, 45, because you know that I don't pay attention to that.
Yes.
And so I'd slowed down, but we passed City
Hall.
And
I knew that Stamps was a speed trap.
Speed trap. But we passed City Hall, and I was telling you about my experience with the uncooperative doves that we had to release at an event I was at, and I got so excited I forgot where I was, and next thing you know you said, is that a policeman? Turns out it was.
So have you spoken with the municipal judge there this week?
No, I thought I'd wait till after the 4th of July.
Okay, you just can't bring yourself to make the call.
I did tell my wife, and she ridiculed me, in fact. Now that I think about it.
A little ridicule.
But I think it was a good lesson for Evan, which was don't ride with old men would be the one thing. And he don't speed in a small town. So, I mean, that's what else could you want?
Well, we will add Stamps to our list of places where you simply must slow down.
Well, someone said, and I can't believe I didn't say, now, officer, you do know this is Rex Nelson sitting here. But I thought
I'm
not
the fine
sure
that
if that
point.
Would help or not, so I didn't do that.
Yeah, I'm lacking big-time contacts in Lafayette County.
I told him, I said, Rex, my philosophy is never miss a chance to humor. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So he was a serious officer.
Yeah, he wasn't a smiling guy, was he?
And I said, well, we were just trying to get to Burgess to get some fried pies before they ran out. And he said, I think you'll make it. And then he said, don't get the cheesy fries.
Yeah, stay away from the cheese fries.
So we left friends.
Yeah.
And I was, I'll be pleased to help with the budget of Stamps.
Help the city of Stamps.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You may be buying stamps for Stamps, for all we know. They'll put it in the city till and use it however they need to use
there,
it.
I have to say,
Hall.
There was a moment when he was walking up, I thought, what if things get weird and Rex and I end up in jail? Which, you never know.
Which is over in Louisville. We passed the Lafayette County Jail.
That's right. Well, we'd be close to Burgess.
Yeah, we could have walked once the Butler Center had come in, down and posted bond for us on that Saturday.
Maybe the jailer would have gone up to Burgess and got us a turkey sandwich.
Got some fried pies. Yeah. Absolutely. Now, this year we were better because knowing were going to stop somewhere else for supper, we still ate the turkey sandwich at Burgess to say we did. This year, we simply got fried pies to bring home. I had to have my cherry limeade anytime I'm at a Burgess.
Of course,
But, Paul, I want you to know that my wife has proclaimed those the best fried pies she has ever had. Period. End of story, she said.
I agree. I think Burgess are fantastic. Now, did you have enough peach pie, or did someone steal all the peaches from you?
Well, the guy that had gotten the speeding ticket was in front of me and got all but one of the peach pies.
So you had one. Well,
but the blueberries and apples were very good.
Peach, and I got two cherries, too.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And their dining room, if you've never been to the original, I know a lot of listeners here in Central Arkansas are familiar with the Heights location, but the menu's even bigger down at the original. I mean, they've got everything on the menu. And their dining room is kind of course, as a sports nut, I love it, and I know you do. My son loved it. It's kind of a Razorback memorabilia Razorback football.
I think one of the posters is the 54 team, the Little Pigs.
1954, they went to the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah. It's fantastic. And
that was the 25 Little Hogs Ole Miss came in here to War Memorial Stadium, nationally ranked. And our old family friend, the late Buddy Benson, threw the Powder River play pass to Preston Carpenter, and he scored. And the late Orville Henry, the chronicler of the Razorbacks, called that the most single important play in Arkansas football history.
And who was
he
the
said
coach?
It put Arkansas on the national map. Bowden White.
Bowden White, right.
And Arkansas fans were so excited about going to the Cotton Bowl that year, they bought Bowden White a new Cadillac. And right after that, he took the head coaching job at the University of Tennessee, his alma mater, and drove the new Cadillac to Knoxville that we had just given him.
Well, but we ended up pretty good.
That's almost as bad as letting your friend Houston keep all the golden handcuff money. And then he goes to Ole Miss with it.
But in between
that. Was the modern version of that.
In between, we had Frank Brawl, so that turned out okay.
Yeah, that did turn out okay for everybody. Yeah. But, yeah, a lot of the old-timers still haven't forgiven Bowden for driving that Cadillac all the way to Knoxville. But his picture's up there with the 54 team. And it's just a neat place.
That's when the coaches wore fedoras on the sidelines and suits.
Exactly. Now, you get down in that part of the state, and you're near Louisiana. Like we said, we went into Louisiana. You're near Texas. We went into Texas, of course, when we got to Texarkana. But, well, I think we saw more LSU gear that day than we did Arkansas. And when we were standing there at Louisville, we had people – in LSU, Texas, and Texas A&M
and
gear
Texas
all
A&M.
At the same time.
Yeah, and one of them was talking about his son or somebody had gone to Centenary.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was really interesting for, and not that it's middle of nowhere, but there's not a whole lot going on.
Not on a Saturday afternoon in
County.
Louisville.
No, in Louisville, not much at all. Pretty quiet, I would say.
Yeah, and Stamps, the police are about the only ones out. And in Louisville, the people at Burgess are about the only ones
that's
out
about
on,
it.
On a summer Saturday
that's
afternoon.
Right.
But Burgess is special. So my son can now say he has seen that. Now, this year we didn't stop for catfish in Garland.
Right.
But if you missed our show last year, there are two great catfish places in Garland, Arkansas. It's the little community. If you're going east to west on US 82, right after you cross the Red River, there's one called West that sits on the Red River, and then one kind of over on what I call the old highway called Docks, where we went last year. And people flock from, I think, even East Texas and North Louisiana, plus all that part of Southwest Arkansas.
Parking lot was full.
To eat catfish at those two places.
5 o'clock, and parking lot was full on Saturday.
But as we said, we wanted to go into Texarkana to introduce my son to some of the finer things in life. Now, first, I've got to admit, I did something because I had my son with him. It's something I do not think I have done since I was a kid. And a lot of our listeners will have done this, and if not, they're familiar with pictures of this, and that is go to the old federal building there in Texarkana and stand there on the state line where the sign says Texas and Arkansas behind you. And we got our picture. I put you over in Texas.
Well,
so I stayed in Arkansas.
In memory of my relatives, my Texas relatives. And, you know, I don't know if people know this, David Strickland, of course, who's the head, really, of the Butler Center.
He is a mogul.
He's a mogul.
When it comes to Arkansas culture.
He's a Texas boy. People
history,
may not realize
but,
But, yeah, that was pretty quiet on the square in Texas.
Yeah, the Texarkana downtown needs some work. Now, they're
trying
to renovate the old Grimm Hotel, which has been one of my favorite name businesses.
Which is kind of grim.
For a long time. I've always loved the Grimm Hotel in Texarkana. And one of my other famous favorite name businesses was the Gross Mortuary in Hot Springs. So they're right up there together on my list. The
but
Grimm
Rex,
Hotel.
Before we got to Texarkana, we noticed this last year, and it's still there, is this phenomenon of like an escarpment between Louisville and Texarkana.
Yeah, you come out of the lowlands of the Red River bottoms where there's a lot of row crop agriculture down there, and suddenly it looks like the many places in East Arkansas where the Delta meets Crowley's Ridge. It has
exactly
that same look,
what it looks like.
Yeah.
You just think, well, what is this? And
you're back up in the hills.
There
again.
You are again, right outside of Texarkana.
Yeah, but we had a good time going downtown and getting our photo taken. But then, again, finer things in life. The only restaurant we know, the Cattleman's, it's on the Arkansas side of State Line Avenue. Right. So we were eating in Arkansas, even though we'd been barely into Texas. We were eating in Arkansas, spending our money in the natural state. But we wanted to introduce my son to the calf fries and the turkey fries Unfortunately, they were out of the calf fries. Must have been a run on them on that Friday
calf
night.
Calf fries are harder to get. It turns out not as many cattle being produced and not as many young bulls as there are plenty of turkeys, evidently.
Yeah.
And so Evan was like, "He would sure, yes, I'll have some." But he was doing it strictly to please his dad, was not expecting it to be even remotely palatable.
Then he ate several. Yeah, I thought he'd eat one and quit. Yeah, yeah.
You know why, Rex? Because they're good.
They are good, absolutely. They come with cocktail sauce, like an oyster.
That's exactly right.
That's why they call calf fries mountain oysters, I guess.
And you can have a cocktail with them, which makes them even better.
Exactly. So we started with the turkey fries, and then I thought, all right, I'm down here close to Texas. I've got to have a chicken fried steak. And then, and I've talked about how I grew up quail hunting and my love of quail, and we used to have fried quail on Christmas morning in my house. I've always talked about that. And that, again, is one of the few places I know you can get fried quail, and you can add a quail. So I added a quail to the chicken fried steak, not remembering that the chicken fried steak is about the size of my head.
It's gargantuan would be the way I'd put it. Exactly. Huge. I mean, it falls all over the plate.
Oh,
and just battered in their own unique way of doing it. I don't know what it is, but it was fantastic.
I think it may be the best chicken fried steak I've ever had.
It's wonderful. It rivals the size. It's not as big as the pork steak at Fat Boys in Arkadelphia, but what is?
Luckily, my son was there to give half my quail to because I couldn't have finished it otherwise.
Well, I was very good. I didn't get the quail. I just had the chicken fried steak. Not sure I finished that. I was worried about having a fat-induced stroke as we were driving back, so I tried to moderate myself in some way, but wasn't all that successful.
Chicken fried steak kind of put you over the edge,
oh,
though, didn't it?
Oh, my goodness. But what a classic old restaurant. You could see families were there.
Oh, yeah, and it's got
big
the dark
groups.
Wood. Kind of a country club feel inside.
Yeah, real dark when you get inside. Dark paneling.
But it's been around for many decades, and I understand that old bar down there is where many of the big business and political deals in that part of southwest Arkansas and that part of northeast Texas have been cut through the years.
And the outside, when you drive up, you think, well, what is this?
Nothing special.
No,
yeah.
Just a little building, one-story flat roof building. Mm-hmm. But you get inside and you think, okay, this is a place that
place
going
to
do good. Yeah.
Yeah. That Ross Pro spent a little time in there being a Texas kind of boy, don't you?
And we, the last time we got the steaks, what they're famous for, is fantastic.
I'm going to have to go chicken fried again, I'm afraid, next time I'm there, though.
Goodness, that was good.
You've been listening to Chewing the Fat with Rex and Paul on Radio Cows, a production of the Central Arkansas Library System, its Arkansas History Department, the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies, and the Cows Communications and Public Relations Department. For more information, please visit cows.org and butlercenter.org. Our producer is Glenn Whaley. Production manager is Shelley Stormo. Voices by Jasmine Job and John Miller. Engineering and editing by Anna Lancaster and Shelley Stormo. Our executive producers are Leanne Blackwell-Hoskin and David Strickland.